In the past 20 years, there has been extraordinary developments in relationships between men and women. And allegiances to constricting and depriving roles, what I will call the traditional marriage of the sky father and the earth mother, have given way to more richly varied, unique, and expanding potentials for individuals and couples. I think of the coat that Jacob gave Joseph, the proverbial coat of many colors, a symphony of textures and hues to replace the drab but durable desert robes worn by his brothers. Change has its problems, as Joseph discovered when he lay at the bottom of the well. As a consequence of the change in relationships during the past 20 years, there has been pain and suffering. Too much pain and suffering. My bias would be that there have, in fact, been too many divorces, that the epidemic dissolution of marriage has begun to overreach the benefits gained from the new potential and freedoms. We have learned better how not to be imprisoned by marriage, by outmoded connections, by stultifying relationships at the center of our lives. We have not yet learned how to be committed, to acquiesce and sacrifice and remain loyal and suffer one another. Although, very sadly, AIDS may help us to do that. We have laid bare the stiffness and oppression of traditional marriage, but many of the relationships developed out of our new discoveries have not endured, and that has had immensely unpleasant consequences. It is a strange bias for me, this strong negative feeling about too many divorces, for I have been divorced, and it was my and her ability to separate from an apparently appropriate union which gained me my present very good marriage of 24 years. We got through last year. Jungian work has emphasized individuation as a process of finding one's own way through a deep, ongoing connection to self, an individual self and a collective self. Jung didn't talk much about the dyadic self, or dyadization, to coin a word as a complement to individuation. Rather, he emphasized the loneliness of the process of human growth, its solitude. Yet so many of the images he uses for individuation are dyadic. I hope you are all familiar with his difficult but beautiful essay, The Psychology of the Transference, where he traces the transformation of an individual through the alchemical images of the joining of a male and a female body and soul. The text of the essay reads as if that is all inner work. Inner male and inner female conjunction, anima and animus syzygy, merging and integrating inside, all in the quest of wholeness. Yet this seminal essay is about transference in analysis, a true dyadic form of relationship. It is as if real relationships were beside the point compared to the inner joinings. At the very same time that Jung was writing this, he was also very much in the thrall of two simultaneous love relationships. Perhaps the difficulty in his own private life is part of why so much of Jung's public writings focus almost obsessively on inner life and internal merger, excluding relational connections in the process. The real union of two people, which exists for itself and also catalyzes and deepens individuation, and the octuple shifts in the collective psyche that can potentiate such unions, that is the transformation I will address myself to today. When I talk about transformations in relationships, I will confine myself to close relationships, marriages, lovers, parenting, family. I wish I had time to talk about the critical issue of the need for changing form in political relationships. This is really a desperate issue. And perhaps we can consider this in the question period. I prepare this talk for Sunday morning, time for a sermon, which is why I put that slide up on the board. I wanted to change that a little. I'm aware that it is moralistic and perhaps intolerant to talk of too many divorces, Too little sacrifice, too little work, too short a perspective. But there has also been too much pain, particularly for our children, who are more experimented on by their parents than free to be experimenters in their own right. So many of our children are modern versions of the wandering Jew, moving from home to home, neighborhood to neighborhood, even country to country, as they track their parents' web of past and present relationships. I know some of the parents and understand and empathize with their decisions. And as an analyst, I may have been a container for the individual discoveries and growth that led to old relationships dissolving and new ones forming. Most of the time, all that personal growth doesn't quite make up for what I see in the kids. Veiled eyes, psychological precociousness as a defense against intimacy, and pain, most of all pain. It is true that we grow psychologically from the process of being wounded and of healing wounds. But there are some wounds which do not heal and which do not promote growth. We will not grow from a nuclear holocaust. For a child, the separation of a mother and a father, the nuclear family, no matter how well handled, is a personal holocaust. Most of growth is stunted rather than potentiated by such wrenching change. We may look to the children, the new age children, for some creative answers to the difficulties their parents have had with the relationships in the face of the rapid role changes in our culture in transition. Perhaps they will provide it. But it is more likely, I think, that they will become traditional, dependent, and conservative. I think such trends are already present in their relationships and in their politics, in the extraordinary conservatism of youth at a time when we all need their creative energy to recapture our future from the nuclear era.